The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today I am here on this great occasion in the life of our nations to express the highest regard and friendship of the British people to the people of the United States. With the spirit of 1776 in our minds, we can perhaps agree that we do not always agree, at least in the first instance. Ours is a partnership born out of dispute, but no less strong for it. As President Trump himself observed during his state visit to Britain last autumn, the bond of kinship and identity between America and the United Kingdom is priceless and eternal. It is irreplaceable and unbreakable. The alliance that our two nations have built over the centuries, and for which we are profoundly grateful to the American people, is truly unique. And that alliance is part of what Henry Kissinger described as Kennedy's soaring vision of an Atlantic partnership based on twin pillars, Europe and America. That partnership, I believe, Mr. Speaker, is more important today than it has ever been. As my Prime Minister said last month, ours is an indispensable partnership. We must not disregard everything that has sustained us for the last 80 years. Instead, we must build on it.
The British Empire that began here in America certainly did not end here. The sons and daughters of the British Isles went on to found more countries and spread more civilization than any nation before. They built an English-speaking world upon which the sun never sets and provided an example to which free people will always turn, that always turned. Today, most of Britain's former colonies have no idea what they truly owe to this towering legacy of law, liberty, and British custom that they were given. We were given that, and it was a great, great gift.
It's nice to see an American president say so many nice things about this brotherhood, this relationship, the British Empire. I mean, we know, you know well, if you follow this program, that our nations, they have a lot of troubles, and it's prophesied, and it's building toward unbelievable suffering, great tribulation, as Jesus said. But just thinking about the, I was going to start with Comey, but it's nice to be uplifted in a world where there's so much darkness. There's so much evil. There's so much criticism and hatred for America, for Britain. It's nice to get some positive comments from King Charles and from President Trump as well. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at thetrumpet.com or at the Rumble channel or at the YouTube channel as well. You can email the show, td@thetrumpet.com, if you'd like to give us some feedback. I know we haven't read much feedback in a while, but we get it from time to time, and we definitely do read through those and enjoy hearing from you. So the King gave two speeches, one at Congress, and President Trump joked that he was able to get even the Democrats to rise and to applaud, something that Orange Hitler hasn't been able to do. So a great speech in many ways from King Charles, and some additional comments at the state dinner that followed. I think it was after the congressional speech. In any event, you heard from both of them there in the cold open. This is Deutsche Welle News commenting on King Charles's trip to the States. Clip one.
250 years ago, the United States officially declared its independence from Britain. But now the British monarch is in the US trying to save the relationship. King Charles and Queen Camilla have landed in Washington for a state visit, beginning a diplomatic charm offensive at a really tricky time. Transatlantic ties are strained, to say the least, and US President Donald Trump has recently slammed the King's own Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, for not joining US attacks on Iran. So enter the monarchy's soft power and possibly the king's most diplomatic performance yet.
This is a deeply political time. It's a polarized time. It's a divided time for the transatlantic partnership, for the US and the UK in particular. And I think the king has, you know, very thoughtfully decided to take this visit. He didn't entirely know, you know, what the how things would unfold in the days and leading up to his arrival to today. But nonetheless, I think that he believed and believes that he can sort of help the US and the UK rise above the current very, very sour political moment to highlight the importance of this relationship. He's traveling because it's America's 250th birthday. Should be an extraordinary moment for two countries with a deep and long and extensive and multifaceted relationship.
So there you go, an update on the trip from their perspective in Europe, trying to repair this relationship. And there's been a lot of damage done to it over the years. And a lot, as they say, a lot of troubles for both nations at the moment. But given what we know about Bible prophecy, I guess just to make one more point, following the cold open there, you know, it also shows just how at far ends of the spectrum the worldview of someone like King Jeroboam on the one hand and the dear leader Antiochus, who hated America, who hated Britain, and who hated the Jews. That would be the dear leader, Barack Obama. I mean, look at how strong that sentiment is in the United States. It's still there. It shows how equally divided that America is just within America. Forget about the severing alliance between America and Britain. I mean, there is division to go all around. And that's something that you'll hear Israelite leaders commonly celebrate. Our division is what makes us strong. No, it's ripping us apart. Barack Obama, I mean, he didn't waste any time to stick it to Britain or to little Judah. And then you think about all the crimes that he and his henchmen got away with. And now we finally get around to Comey for the shells, of all things, the shells on the beach. He should be punished for it, don't get me wrong. But of all the crimes he's committed, this is where they finally get him? It's only an indictment. We'll see what comes of it. Another guy that worked for Fauci. He covered up the truth. And we're finally getting around to that. Well, Fauci covered it up too. Nobody's going to go. Generally speaking, you don't go after the top dog. The dear leader, he gets a pass. Fauci, he gets a pass. Well, I said I'd start with something very positive. And it is positive, and it's discussed. I mean, there's some sobering truths, prophecies in this book as well. The United States and Britain in prophecy. But it talks about a very special relationship. And even more special than that, the blessings and the prosperity and the power and the relative peace that God poured down from heaven above upon our nations, the United States and Great Britain. And we could spend, you know, multiple programs talking about all of those blessings being taken away and replaced by curses because of our sins. But the history, I mean, the history is glorious. The White House tweeted out, two kings, an epic tweet. You know, not surprising coming from President Trump's administration.
Then there was that other story. I forget which newspaper that this was from. Reveal, it's one of the British tabloids. How the Mail, Daily Mail. How the Mail traced Trump's family tree and found out he's the king's cousin. He's related to the royalty. And that led to a tweet by President Trump. Wow, that's nice. I've always wanted to live in Buckingham Palace. I'll take the king and queen. I'll talk to the king and queen about this new or in a few minutes. So the tweets, they are on fire. But the one about two kings, I mean, it's kind of funny. But at the same time, Amos 7 says Jeroboam has king-like powers, or the end time Jeroboam does. So there's a lot of truth wrapped up in that as well. Listen to this from President Trump at the White House state dinner. This is clip number 10.
But even though the political bonds between the United States and Great Britain were dissolved forever, they thought, on July 4th, 1776, the more powerful strands of memory, culture, and identity proved unbreakable in any conflict and grew into a friendship unlike any other on Earth, a very, very special and incredible friendship. But far beyond names and principles, there's something unique and very special that has always united our two people, a certain nobility of spirit and heroic soul.
It is unique because as he refers to there in 1776, I mean, these two bitterly split apart. And yet after that, I mean, how do you explain these two having such a special relationship? Well, it has to do with the fact that they're brothers. You've got Ephraim and Manasseh. Brothers. And for 200 years plus, I mean, you saw the British Empire rise to phenomenal power, strength, influence. The sun never set on the British Empire. It's glorious history. It's history that really does anger a lot of nations on this earth, has angered them for decades, for probably centuries. And now you look at the way, I mean, the world is aligning against America, and the British Empire is long gone. So the glory days are over, for sure. But we can look back at that history. We can follow on the tweet saying two kings, or that the President Trump is related to the royal family. The nations, I mean, and the relationship, they're special. They are special, but they're special because God gave us the blessings of Abraham. They're special because of our connection to Abraham. They're special because of Abraham's obedience to God's laws. They're special because of the unbreakable promises that God made to Abraham. All that's discussed in this book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy, and, you know, built into the study are lessons for us as individuals. If we see what God did to that faithful patriarch, or what he promised and what he bestowed upon our nations in these last days, because of Abraham's obedience, I mean, that is quite a profound lesson that God leaves for us. And most people aren't heeding it. Most people reject it. As I say, most people despise the glory of the British Empire. They despise the British royal line. They despise that throne, that royal throne. And look at how many people hate and despise President Trump. They just tried to assassinate him, what, 4 or 5 days ago? And King Charles, to his credit, he came out strongly against that, denounced that. This is President Trump at the state dinner, clip 11.
The entire world has been uplifted by this distinct and special character we share, this unstoppable daring, this unconquerable courage. It really is. It's unconquerable. History has known no more powerful force than the combination of American patriotism and British pride.
It says, or he said, unconquerable. That's not exactly right, but again, a positive, uplifting message about glorious history that's connected to God and the prophecies of God, that's connected to Abraham, that's connected to obedience. Here's some from King Charles in his address to Congress, clip 4.
And, Mr. Speaker, for many here, and for myself, the Christian faith is a firm anchor and daily inspiration that guides us, not only personally, that guides us not only personally, but together as members of our community.
Now, you look at how he's cozied up to a lot of other religions, and you could go off on that, I suppose, with a rant. But the Christian faith, the Judeo-Christian ethic, the Judeo-Christian documents, really, on which our nations are founded, and we've drifted so far from that. And I know there's a lot of talk about religion today, but I went through a quote from Mr. Armstrong at the start of class this morning where he said, have you ever noticed that, you know, the persecution leveled against righteous individuals like Jesus Christ, that it's leveled by religious people. The religious people spearhead it. I mean, it says something about religion today. Is this really a Christian revival that we're seeing around the world and in the United States, in Britain? Is it happening? Is it real? Is there substance? Is it leading us to turn from our wicked ways? Certainly not. One more, though, from King Charles. This is clip 5.
I believe with all my heart that the essence of our two nations is a generosity of spirit and a duty to foster compassion, to promote peace, to deepen mutual understanding, and to value all people of all faiths and of none.
We had this article from 2018. Was America never that great? And in this, Joel Hilliker, he goes through Genesis 12, the promises made to Abraham, the directive that God gave to him, get out of your country, from your kindred, your father's house, and so on, and go where I'll show you to go. And then God said, and I'll make you a great nation. He writes, study the book of Genesis and you will see that that promise repeated several times and refined and emphasized. God promised that several nations would descend from Abraham. Again, the U.S. and Britain in prophecy. It's a must read. If you want to understand our history, why we're where we're at the moment and where we're headed. Prophecy. God specifically promised that two particularly powerful nations would descend from Abraham's great-grandsons, Manasseh and Ephraim. He said that they would be a nation and a company of nations. This promise refers directly to America and Britain. It does. There's a mountain of proof in Mr. Armstrong's book, speaking of U.S. and Britain, but you can just read the descriptions in Genesis, look at world history, and then look at the world over the past 200 years. Only America and Britain have fulfilled those promises. It's obvious, in other words. Now, we definitely encourage you to dig in to the study. This is over 200 pages. I mean, it takes you through the Bible. It takes you through history. But like Mr. Hilliker brings out, I mean, just read Genesis 12 through Genesis 49. And then ask yourself, given all of these promises, unbreakable promises, ask yourself, how are they fulfilled? How are they fulfilled in the last days, as it says in Genesis 49 and verse 1? That's the first book of the Bible. And Moses wrote there that this prophecy about these tribes of Israel, it's for the last days. It's for our time. Says in Genesis 48, verse 19, God specifically says that America, descended from Manasseh, shall be great. And America was great And in many ways, it still is stunningly great. This was, again, back in 2018, because God made it great. He did that to fulfill his promises to Abraham and his descendants. God made it great. Now, you didn't hear much about that in that congressional address or the state dinner. God is left out, even as I said on Monday's program, with respect to the third assassination attempt. Not nearly as many references to God's intervention. From what I've read, not any. I mean, after Butler, everybody was saying it. Everybody, even those that didn't support Trump. They looked at the head tilt, the content of the speech, all the circumstances that led up to it, the mayhem after the shooter went off. And somehow, some way, according to God's miraculous intervention, Donald Trump survived that attack. And yet that's just less than 2 years ago. And now here we are, and it's assassination attempt number three. God doesn't get much credit, or if he does, it's very, very, very short-lived. Listen to this one from the King's address to Congress, clip three.
Our nations are in fact instinctively like-minded, a product of the common democratic, legal, and social traditions in which our governance is rooted to this day. Drawing on these values and traditions, time and again, our two countries have always found ways to come together. Our common ideals were not only crucial for liberty and equality, they are also the foundation of our shared prosperity. The rule of law, the certainty of stable and accessible rules, an independent judiciary resolving disputes, and delivering impartial justice. These features created the conditions for centuries of unmatched economic growth in our two countries.
Here again, not a lot of credit given to God, but it's interesting. He credits the rule of law. He credits the independent judiciary resolving disputes and delivering impartial justice. He says that's what created the conditions for all the growth and the prosperity. And then you look at today. You look at where we are. I mean, to see all these talking heads going on and on about how dare the Department of Justice go after, you know, a politician or a former FBI guy. This is clearly, you're just going after your political opponents. This from the people who were screaming for years, get Trump, kill Trump, destroy Trump through lawfare, impeach Trump. They have been so vicious when they were in power, the radical left. And the vicious violence continues. It happened Saturday night. And then you hear all these, these commentators on the other side talking about justice. Talking tough, talking a lot. And you go right down the list of what's actually happened. Leaving aside these two indictments, Comey, and then the guy that worked for Fauci, forget his name. But you go down the long laundry list of crimes, treasonous crimes, that these communist infiltrators have gotten away with. They didn't execute judgment speedily, like it says in Ecclesiastes. And so they've been able to commit more crimes. Play this montage of Jim Comey. This was when he was talking about the shells last May. Kill Trump, the former FBI director. He's there on the beach playing with shells. 86 number 47. And then just laughing about, you heard yesterday the not so funny man from last week just laughing about the widow Melania. It's just a joke now. Let's joke about assassinations, even as assassination attempt number three just played out. This is the montage on Comey.
I don't know if you do this on purpose just to get attention here, but is this Instagram?
Instagram,
you
yes.
Grammed this. You were walking down the beach. What happened? You were walking down the beach, and you saw this on the beach?
Yeah, my wife and I, Patrice, were walking on the beach and saw those numbers in shells on the beach. And
you didn't do this. Somebody else did this.
Yeah, somebody else did it. We were on a walk preparing for this week,
right.
The rollout of my book.
Yep.
She looked at it and said, why'd someone put their address in the sand?
All right.
And then we stood at it, trying to figure, looked at it, trying to figure out what it was. And she'd long been a server in restaurants. And she said, you know what I think it is?
Yeah.
I think it's a reference to restaurants when you would 86 something in a restaurant.
Right, it's off the menu.
Yeah. I said, no, I remember when I was a kid, you'd say 86 to get out of a place. This place stinks, let's 86 it.
Right. I was a bartender. You would 86 a customer if they were getting drunk. Like, let's 86 them. Let's give them a low proof alcohol or something like that. Yeah.
And so I said, I think it's a clever political message. And she said, you should take a picture of it. I said, sure. And then she said, you should Instagram that. And boom.
Well. The president does not think it was clever. He said, quote, a child knows what that meant. That meant assassination. What?
It doesn't mean that to this child of God.
Mother back, this time about a picture of seashells on a North Carolina beach a year ago. And this won't be the end of it. But nothing has changed with me. I'm still innocent. I'm still not afraid.
How did you, when this posting went up, interpret the phrase 8647? What did it mean to you?
It means he wants to get rid of Donald Trump by electing him out or by standing up to him. I didn't see it as violent in any way or, going after the president physically or trying to hurt him.
So, look, this is a fundamental threat to our Constitution. The charges against James Comey, I heard your previous guest, I completely agree with her, absolutely ridiculous. This is the president using our government, our power, to attempt to take vengeance on his political foes.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. For the reasons that Ellie just laid out, this is not a statement of I wish to kill the president or I'm going to kill the president. In fact, I think most people stared, as I did, at the shells in the photograph and thought, what is that? Because this president's thirst for retribution, for retaliation, knows absolutely no bounds.
Well, that's a good example of weaponizing government against an individual you don't like. It's no secret that the president does not like James Comey, but that's no reason to try to craft charges against him.
I mean, these were, a bunch of seashells on a beach.
Of course it's serious when you threaten the president of the United States, and anybody that tries to put forward some narrative that this is just about seashells or something to the contrary is missing the point. You cannot threaten the president of the United States. That's not my decision. That's Congress's decision in a law that they passed. And so, yes, of course this is a serious case.
And he's right. The last one there, that's Todd Blanche. I guess he's the acting AG now that Bondi's out of there. You actually have a DOJ that's doing something. It's serious. It is serious to threaten the president. But the thing is, they've been doing it for more than 10 years. You had the comedian with the decapitated head of Trump. Madonna talked about blowing up the White House. I mean, you could go right down the list. We played a montage just the other day. They're actually calling for the radical left to take up arms. To find weapons. Nancy Pelosi said she wanted to punch Trump in the mouth. You think they would have tolerated, if the radical left was in control of the DOJ, which it was during the Obama years, do you think they would have tolerated, hey, let's 86 number 44. Hey, I've got a new shtick for my comedy routine. I'm going to hold up the head of Barack Obama. Yeah. I like this. Sounds funny. I'm going to joke about Barack Obama's wife being made a widow. Look at how upside down our system of justice is. What did the king say? Well, it's the rule of law, the independent judiciary, and it's impartial justice that's made our nations great. Well, when that's turned on its head, what happens to our nations? We're seeing it happen. We're seeing it happen right in front of our eyes. No one in America today applies the same standard to right and wrong equally. It's infuriating, and I have to, keep my blood pressure from going higher, but just the fact that even people on the right say, this is great. Yeah, okay, it's seashells. You can make light of it if you want, but, the fact remains, there's witnesses that saw it, and if he knew what 86 means, and he kind of just, in his clip we played, made it seem like he doesn't, but if he did, he could go to jail for 10 years, maybe 20 years. But then they talk about, and the reason this is serious is because, the jury's coming from the eastern side of North Carolina. It's not coming from the D.C. swamp. It's not coming from Manhattan. And that right there even tells you exactly what you need to know about our so-called impartial justice system. You've got to go somewhere in the country where you can get a favorable jury because the country's so bitterly divided. And then the other angle to this, also infuriating, as I said earlier, of all the crimes, this is it. In many ways, the architect of the Russia collusion hoax that led to things like impeachment, harassment, persecution of General Flynn and his family, and on it goes. That's just the tip of the iceberg. They went after Trump for a phone call and for valuing his Mar-a-Lago property too high. And so to hear these people say, no, it's just shells on the sand. It's shells on the sand. Comey wouldn't have put that on Instagram if he didn't know the significance of what it meant and the fact that it was happening right when he started his book tour. He was doing everything possible in a not so subtle message to his Instagram followers. We got to get rid of Trump. We've got to 86 him. Just like you'd get rid of some kind of a food item on a menu at a restaurant. You've got to delete it. You've got to strike it. You've got to get it out. President Trump was right at the time. People know it. Children know. They know what it means. Here's Prince Charles, King Charles, sorry. Here is King Charles saying that it's our rule of law. It's our impartial, independent judiciary system that resolves disputes, and that's what's led to our greatness. Well, look at what's happened to the rule of law in America. Listen to Jake Tapper. He's the CNN guy that went to the dinner party for Jimmy Kimmel with all the Hollywood celebrities because, he's impartial in his judgment. But here's Jake Tapper. You've got a side-by-side. 2022, when he was talking about, those that were making fun of the attack on Nancy Pelosi's husband. You might remember this several years ago, I know. But there's the side-by-side of his commentary on that. And then you compare it to what he says regarding Jimmy Kimmel, just, joking about Melania being a widow. Clip 13.
We in the United States need to fear more stochastic terrorism. In case you're not familiar with the term stochastic, it's defined as the public demonization of a person or a group that results in the incitement of a violent act, even without express orders to attack that person or group. When leaders, whether elected or in media or in a movement, when leaders claim that their opponents are pedophiles or Satanists or are part of a grand conspiracy to hurt you and your family, is anyone really surprised when somebody who hears this acts? What exactly do you think is going to happen? Journalism and jokes are not calls for violence. Calls for violence are calls for violence.
There you go. There you go. It's okay if he makes jokes. If he makes jokes about Trump being assassinated, that's fine. But there he was. What was it? Stochastic terrorism. You can't just go call someone a pedophile. Well, that's what the assassin wrote in his manifesto. And the radical left, as we said Monday, they're going to turn him into a hero and lament the fact that he didn't carry out his objective, that he didn't actually assassinate him. These people are celebrities. That's it. They're left-wing celebrity activists. That's why they're at the celebrity dinner parties. We had the program, what was it, yesterday? The media made assassin. They made him. They sure did. Based upon Jake Tapper's commentary from 2022, what we saw Saturday night was stochastic terrorism. They have been demonizing Trump and all things Trump since he came down the escalator. Before that, they loved Trump. They loved the fact that Trump was a billionaire. They wanted Trump's donations. They wanted Trump's endorsement. Then he comes down the escalator. It turns out he's got a little bit of a different worldview. He actually thinks highly of the British Empire. So let's kill him now. Let's murder him. Let's assassinate President Trump. They've tried three times. Three times. Someone tweeted this out following these indictments aimed at Comey and the Fauci assistant. Accountability is coming, it says at the top. You've got the Russian hoax. How many people have been arrested? Zero. You've got Benghazi, when the dear leader was in charge and Hillary Clinton was out there saying it was some YouTube guy that caused it. They were exposed. Americans were murdered. Four of them, including an ambassador. How many arrests from Benghazi? Zero. How many arrests from COVID? Well, you got the indictment yesterday, finally, so there's one. The cover-up of all of that communication, it's not connected to, it's not connected to the China, the Wuhan lab at all. And there was President Trump calling it the China virus from the beginning. I mean, there's fault on both sides. Trump was there when COVID broke out, and he was there when he was, Operation Lightning Speed on the vaccine. A lot of people have suffered, died, they've been injured. Because of, the elites, their policies, imposing their will on just the commoners. And then covering their tracks after the fact when they see that, that decision, it didn't quite work out the way we were thinking. I mean, that's putting it nicely. A lot of the decision making was driven purely by agenda. And the fact that they weaponized COVID to try to get rid of Trump. Well, they actually did. They stole the election. And what about that one? The stolen election. Who has gone to jail? I mean, there have been people that have gone to jail that tried to expose the steal. They've gone to jail. But people that actually stole it, the rule of law, it hasn't come after them. I mean, Kash Patel and Dan Bongino can talk tough. They can talk about the rule of law. Not a lot of action, though. You got to give credit to Blanche. Here he's this kind of soft-spoken lawyer. And instead of getting all prepped and ready for his Fox News segment like Pam Bondi would always do, it seems like he's a little more serious-minded about actually going after criminals. That's kind of refreshing. Because as King Charles said, that impartial judgment, just judgment. I mean, that contributed to America's greatness. The fact that the rule of law would resolve disputes and deliver impartial justice. Well, today you can get away with stochastic terrorism as long as it's coming from the radical left. Then, I mean, it's free speech. You see how it works. Fauci, the January 6th committee, anybody held to account there for that Hollywood production? The whole purpose of that production was to create fake narratives. Now, there's a lot of people from January 6th that went to jail. The radical left, they went after them with a vengeance. That was the biggest DOJ investigation in the history of the DOJ. Spearheaded by the dear leader, Barack Obama, the auto pin presidency, and Merrick Garland. And they, what did they put, 1,200 people in jail for a protest? So much for free speech. Fast and furious. Anybody go to jail? Anybody get arrested? Burisma. Remember that? Remember that story? We've talked about all these stories on this show. Afghanistan. One of the most shameful withdrawals in U.S. history. And people actually died. I mean, Milley carried out a drone attack on children. U.S. Marines got blown up in an attack as they were making their way out of the country. Anybody held to account? What about the Epstein files? Uh-oh. Well, the only one that's really connected to the Epstein files is the pedophile that is Donald Trump. Now, Jake Tapper said to call him a pedophile. Man, that's stochastic terrorism. That was in 2022. For the life of me, sometimes it's hard for me to believe that these people can just get up, go on to work, get in front of the camera, and carry on defending Jimmy Kimmel for joking about murdering Donald Trump. It's free speech. It's just a joke. It's not harmful. The only harmful rhetoric is what comes from Orange Hitler. Epstein files, Hillary emails. Comey was a part of that cover-up. 33,000 emails on her own basement server, which in itself was illegal. A breach of U.S. security, if ever there was one. She got away with it. She was able to scrub the servers even. What about the cocaine at the White House? Now, you can make light of the seashells if you want. And maybe cocaine at the White House is only a step or two above that. I don't know. But it is cocaine at the White House. Was anybody arrested? Were there any witnesses? Were there any surveillance cameras that might have identified the perpetrator? I think there was. There's probably cameras all over the place in the White House. But we can't find out how the cocaine got into the White House during the Biden years. Doge findings? Well, that wasn't that long ago. I mean, last year at this time, maybe a little before. It seemed like Elon Musk was in the news every day. And I mean, they were uncovering corruption. More recently, you look at all the corruption. I mean, I guess they finally had a raid in that House of Learning, or as it was spelled, the House of Luring in Minneapolis. You know, all of the Somali corruption, these Somali immigrants that are getting billions of dollars from Chuck Schumer and company because they wanted to relax the laws during COVID and just send billions and billions of dollars in handouts to these fake companies. How many people have gotten arrested? Well, let's hope that the FBI raid leads to that. There's a little bit of action, but not nearly enough. What about Hunter's laptop? Any crimes on that laptop? The only crimes, if you listen to the radical left, was for the New York Post to talk about the laptop in the lead up to the election in 2020. And so the Post was silenced, on social media anyway. You don't talk about Hunter's laptop. That's confidential. All the perversion, all the prostitution, all of the illegal drugs and narcotics, the firearms, the weapons. And then the Biden family crimes, the corruption. Has anyone been arrested for that? You go down the list of this guy's tweet, and I tell you, it leaves a sickening feeling in your stomach. When you think about the rule of law, here's King Charles talking about our founding and the common ideals that we have in Britain, in the United States, the liberty, the equality of justice, justice for all, how that's contributed to our shared prosperity. He said the rule of law, the certainty of stable and accessible rules, an independent judiciary resolving disputes and delivering impartial justice. What does your Bible say about the rule of law in our nations in the last days? Isaiah 59:4, it says, none calls for justice, nor any pleads for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive of mischief and they bring forth iniquity. I mean, that's how God sees our judicial system today. We can talk about justice. We can talk about the rule of law. And the truth of it is, you know, no one would be surprised if Jim Comey walks free from his little visible threat on that North Carolina beach. He shouldn't, because even that's serious. But it's not the most serious crime that he's guilty of. The Federalist had a piece on that. It's in my notes here later. We can, if I can find it. I have mixed my pages well. This is from a Grabian post, actually. The 36 biggest scandals and controversies of Jim Comey's career. It says in 2016, during the FBI's Hillary Clinton probe, a technician who destroyed evidence lied to FBI investigators even after he received immunity, and Comey did nothing. So he got away with it. The one who lied, who committed perjury, 2016, under Comey, the FBI authorized informants to break the law 22,800 times in just 4 years. I mean, that seems pretty serious. I mean, maybe that does rise above the seashell crime. 2016, during the investigation into Clinton's mishandling of classified material, the FBI made an unusual deal in which Clinton aides were both given immunity and allowed to destroy their laptops. Comey said, you want to destroy your laptop? Oh, that's fine. That's fine. Use bleach bit. Scrub all of them. Scrub Hillary's. 2017, Comey claimed in Senate testimony that he didn't feel compelled to memorialize his meetings with presidents besides Trump. However, that's untrue. Well, even if it were true, why would you treat Donald Trump differently? He was your boss for a few months, and Comey tried to destroy him. Comey was the architect of the Mueller investigation that terrorized the Trump administration, the whole of the first term, basically. 2017, Comey drafted an exoneration statement for Hillary Clinton months before the FBI even investigated her. She's innocent. And then when she was proven guilty, well, Comey had already proven her innocent. 2018, Agent Peter Strzok was considered so hostile to Trump, Robert Mueller dropped him from the Russia probe. Comey, however, found him fit to lead the Clinton probe. I mean, for the Clinton probe, Strzok was perfect. Was Peter Strzok ever held to account? Andy McCabe, you saw him earlier in one of the clips. On the FBI's Hillary probe 2018, Comey claimed there was no coordination between the DOJ and FBI, but texts and emails later showed that to be untrue. I mean, this man is a serial liar. And so when he gets on Colbert and they have a good joke with each other, Colbert, by the way, wrapping up his very undistinguished career as a funny man, the ratings, as I've said, they're in the toilet, whether it's him or Jimmy Kimmel. They lie. They laugh about lying. They laugh about the rule of law. They laugh about justice. 2018, the memos Comey leaked contained classified material, prompting the DOJ Inspector General to investigate his illegal leak. Did he ever get punished for illegally leaking? Obama punished leakers all over the place. Did Comey ever get punished? No, he's a leftist Democrat. Well, a Republican in name only, he can leak. As long as it hurts Trump, he can leak whatever he wants. Vindman not only leaked, he manipulated the content. So he lied and leaked. Anything to impeach Trump, right? Impeaching Trump over a phone call. How many impeachments do you suppose we're going to have? Should the Democrats win a majority of the House in November? I mean, one thing about the Democrats, they will go after their political enemies. The memos Comey leaked contain classified material. Well, I read that one. Comey's memos reveal that he briefed Trump on the Steele dossier specifically so it would leak to the media. They had to brief Trump so that there was a hook for Jim Sciutto and Jake Tapper to come on CNN in March, I think it was, of 2017, and to tell you about this salacious document, the Steele dossier. No, that was actually January of 2017, I think it was. Get Trump. Anything to get Trump. Isaiah 59 says, none calls for justice, their feet runs to evil, verse 7. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are on thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. They don't know the way to peace, verse 8 says. We read that verse often. Therefore, verse 9, is judgment far from us? Neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. Again, this is God's assessment of our nations, America and Britain. And judgment, verse 14, is turned away backward, and justice stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. We're not living in a fair and just society. Far from it. Far from it. I mean, this is an unjust, unfair world that we're living in. I'm just trying to find that King Charles comment about the rule of law and what made our nations great and how we have all of this justice. Here it is. The rule of law, the certainty of stable and accessible rules, an independent judiciary, resolving disputes, and delivering impartial justice. He said these features created the conditions for centuries of unmatched economic growth in our two countries. When you see what he says there, again, he's not giving God credit, he should, but leave that aside. When you see what he says there, and then when you look at the rule of law today, it tells you a lot about why our nations are suffering through so many troubles. The U.S. and Britain in Prophecy, it's your go-to book on all of this and more, so much of what we've talked about on today's show. And that's all we have time for. The fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.